to the financial statements and the annual report for water and sanitation. Colleagues will recall that the minister wrote to the speaker indicating the delay. We had a hearing and commitments were made, and audio, can you turn off the TVs, because now we are with some problem. Please. So we had a hearing to provide explanations. The commitment was made that the financial and the annual report should be submitted to Parliament. It did not happen. We were under the impression that it was done. When we went to check with stores, there was no annual report. So today, we were scheduled to be having a hearing, but we're not having that hearing now, but we are yet again to receive another explanation as to why the financials have not been submitted. I must be blunt and categoric in the following. We are not going to allow non-submission to entrench itself as a norm. We've got an SAA headache. We are not going to inherit a water and sanitation headache. So DG, from the outset, as we welcome you, I hope you understand very well that as far as we are concerned, non-submission is non-compliance. Inasmuch as the PFMA may make provisions in 65.2 for you to explain, the explanation is not open-ended. It is not a blank check. What makes matters worse is that we met in this very room and commitments were made, and those commitments have not been made. So ordinarily we would have probably accepted, but what we are not going to accept is a failure to be committed to your own commitment. That's the perspective from which we are coming from, and so that is why we are here today. I received a letter from the minister who is unable to attend. She's in cabinet, and the deputy minister in the Department of Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation, responsible for water and sanitation, is in Pretoria. That correspondence has arrived, and subsequently the DM himself phoned, because he was the one who had been delegated here the last time by the minister to come and deal with this matter. So we will hand over to you, DG, and your team, and you will then provide us with an explanation as to why you have been unable to meet your own deadline and to be committed to your own commitment. So you can introduce the team, and we will then hear from you, and then we'll field questions at that point in time. So, DG, welcome, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and Honorable members of the committee, members of the media who are here, colleagues. My name is Mbule Luchanga.
DG, they will request you to.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. My name is Mbule Luchanga. I am an accounting officer for the Department of Water and Sanitation. I am accompanied by my colleagues. I will introduce them quickly so that we can save time. sitting next to me is the CEO of TCTA, Mr. P.C. Shimani. Next to P.C. is the acting CFO of the department, Mr. Franz Mwatu. We have the COO of the department, Ms. Funda Kobi. Gadiseng is her name. Next to Gadiseng is Brian Chaplock, who is in the stabilization team. Minister and myself, we appointed a 10-member stabilization team to stabilize the operations and the finances of the department. And Brian Chaplock is an accountant by profession. Next to Brian Chaplock is Zee Zabandi, who is the CEO of MHPRC, but a trained financial manager. He's been a CFO in a number of departments in government. He's also in the stabilization team of his department. Next to Mzee Zabandu is Emelise Nazar. Emelise is the head of internal audit, the executive head of internal audit in the department. And next to Emelise is the chairman of the audit committee. Yapi Duplessis is the chairman of the audit committee. We also have other officials who are accompanying us from the ministry. Right at the back, we have Swazi Taitai, who is responsible for cabinet and processes in the office of the minister.
Where?
Swazi is sitting right at the back there.
And there is
your hand.
Thank
you. Can wave your hand. Next to Swazi is Ntantangosi, who is also in the office of working.
Are we good to go, audio?
Just turn it on.
Right.
Okay.
Assisting in the running of the operations in the ministry. We've seconded him to assist us to bridge the gap between the ministry and the department. Tlantla has years of experience in the area of water and sanitation. He is from the DBSA as well. And then we have our head of communications. Tlantla, can you wave your hand so that they can see you? In front of Ntlantla, there is Singi Lutsol, who's in the office of the DG, acting chief director in the office of the DG. And then next to him is our head of communications. I'm sure you have seen a lot of him on TV, the gentleman, the tall gentleman, sitting Sputnik. Wave your hand, please. That's our head of communications. We also have Babalwa Mayagayaka, who's sitting next to Sputnik. Babalwa heads corporate planning in the department. Can you wave your hand, Babalwa? She's in the corporate services component. We also have the CFO of the TCTA and sitting right at the back. I don't know if she's running away from accounting today. Sondela Sisibagboy. So that's my team today, Chairperson, and I'm good to go.
Right. Let me just, because now recording is just for the record, the minister has sent an apology. She's in cabinet. The deputy minister is in Pretoria today. I want to reiterate what I was saying earlier on, to say, DG, the failure to be committed to your own commitments after we had met here is what is unacceptable to us. The provisions of 65.2, which allow you to inform Parliament that you will not be submitting, are not open-ended. As far as we are concerned, that's a clause for the purposes of explanation, and non-submission, in our view, is non-compliance. So we find it unacceptable that we are now having to grapple with a trend and a precedence which if we don't rein you in and rein in SAA, then everybody else is going to assume that it is acceptable to not submit. This poses a huge risk to oversight and accountability. And the floodgates, which could potentially open because of this cause of action, are an immediate threat which we need to deal with. So I hope that you understand the committee's perspective and outlook, because as I'm saying, colleagues, we met here and explanations were provided. On that day, I think we had Alexco, we had SA Express, we had SAA, NSFAS, and everybody but Water and Sanitation and SAA have not have submitted. You guys have not submitted. And it was, you will recall that we had indicated to you that as part of the legacy report of the Fifth Parliament, there is still an outstanding matter of an inquiry of Parliament that SCOPA has undertaken insofar as your finances are concerned. I think your immediate predecessor in an acting capacity, who's DDG, we spent a week here. I'm sure in the handover they would have informed you of that. We spent a week here in Parliament trying to weave through the issues of water and sanitation. The failure to submit compounds the problems and in fact necessitates the need, colleagues, as far as I'm concerned, to probably look at water far more closely than we probably were in this sixth administration. Because this is a historic matter, really, in terms of the state of health of the finances of water and sanitation. And therefore, I hope that off the bat, that you understand the seriousness of this matter, that it's not in a vacuum. Considering also the fact that today, as I was saying, we had scheduled a hearing to look into your matters as part of bringing those aspects of the inquiry to a logical conclusion so that we could determine and ascertain whether progress had been made or not. And we now find ourselves back to square one. It is unacceptable. Because, you see, we had SAA here and they're now trying to give us some technical explanations about 65.2. No, we're not accepting any of those technical things. In this regard, we are very hard-headed. We hear your explanation, but what we want is submission. So I think that hopefully clears everything. So we welcome AG, who's here, and we welcome National Treasury and other stakeholders who are present, who are assisting us in this work. All right. Sistombi, the apologies of colleagues will be handed over to you. I'm sure you've already received them. You can enter those into the record. Right, DG, you are cleared to go. And ordinarily, I was going to apologize for the delay, but I think I must not assume ESCOM's problems. We are just as much a victim here as everyone, but I appreciate cooperation in that we are all able to exercise a degree of patience as we dealt with these issues of waiting. Right? So, whilst they finalize the setup there, colleagues, for the purposes of saving time, we're going to have a working meeting with a bias to the meeting. And so if we are going to be getting coffee and things like that, can we just do so quietly? Right, DG, just before we carry on, how long has the CFO been acting? Oh, you can speak. because...
Honorable Chairperson, and July it will be the full 2 years, by July also.
Right, can that be noted, please, so that a note can be sent through to DG? The vacancy must be filled. It's unacceptable to have an acting CFO for this period of time. It provides and creates a climate and an environment for instability, which we've always pointed out, without indicting the acting CFO. General people act, they adopt a hambagahle approach, particularly if there's an ambition for the position in a full-time capacity. And then they don't rock the boat as they should. So this is not to say that it's not an indictment on the acting CFO, it's just a general statement. I see here, Richie, you acting as well. Why are you acting? How long have you been acting?
Chair, I started in August last year. I am DG Human Settlements. The minister took a decision to second me to water and sanitation. So I have been acting since August last year.
And then there's somebody acting at Human Settlements? Or you are wearing both hats with the merger?
What I've decided to do, because the acting arrangement in Human Settlements can only be done by delegations, so I delegated one of my DDGs to act in Human Settlements. But that's a matter that is receiving minister's attention.
All right, I'm going to assume that so the merger, is it merging departments or ministries?
It's merging ministries, the departments are separate.
The departments are separate. So we are settled with the situation of an acting DG at Human Settlements, an acting DG at Water and Sanitation, and an acting CFO. That on its own is a breeding ground for instability. But as you say, it was the minister's decision, and she's not here. But since you are at Water and Sanitation, it is within your purview to ensure that the position of CFO, which is a few months from now going to be 2 years, full is filled. Because maybe before we start, what is the process in place, in fact, to fill that vacancy? What is being done to have you advertised? At which stage are you at, and when are you anticipating tying this matter down?
Thank you, Chair. We have advertised for the position, and we're busy with shortlisting right now. We think that we will be able to fill that position in the next month or two.
So by May, today is the 11th, all right, so we'd like a report then on the 11th of May as to what the progress is in that regard, so that we, Ben, please note that in they must do that. The other matters of the DG and the in both departments, we will communicate those with the minister. All right, acting DG, let's hand over to you. And hear what is going on. You're presenting on the screen.
We'll put it on the screen, but the screen went up.
Yeah. Right. Audio? Okay, it's fine. You've got hard copies, colleagues,
yes.
Right? Okay, let's go. Right, DG, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I forgot to introduce my colleague, Beza Nchona, is sitting right at the back as well. I didn't see him. Beza Nchona is in the ministry on the side of water and sanitation. Chair, we want to put it categorically up front that we don't want to give excuses for not submitting the annual report. We want to account properly. That's why we're called accounting officers. We have to give account of why we haven't submitted. It's not something that sits very well with us because all other departments have submitted the annual reports. and the Department of Water and Sanitation has not submitted the annual report. What we are going to do today, Chair, we have structured the presentation in such a way that it's easy for the members of the committee to follow the chronology of events, what has happened. We will outline it. Outlining it, at the same time we take full responsibility for what has happened. The structure of our presentation is as follows. We will state the purpose upfront, the purpose of this presentation today. We will outline the problem statement. What is the problem? What is the nature of the problem that has caused this delay? We will give you an overview of the water trading entity and the main account, just for you to get a sense of the two accounts. And then we'll talk briefly about the TCTA business model. And if there are shortfalls, the CEO will add to that. And then we'll talk about the main account timeline, the chronology of events in terms of the main account, because we have two accounts in our annual report. We will also talk about the WTE account and the TCTA timeline. That's not enough. I think all what you want to know, you've stated it upfront, is where to from here. When will you be able to submit the annual report? We will state that explicitly at the end of this presentation. It's not a long presentation. We keep it very short because we have to answer the question directly. I think the question that was directed to the minister is very straightforward. We're providing SCOPA with an explanation on the annual report for the department, both the main and the water trading entity account, for not submitting the annual report as legislated. We also want to present the timelines towards the submission of the annual report to Parliament. That's basically what we're going to do today. I'm assuming that we will be called back to deal with substantive issues at a later stage once we have tabled the annual report. What is the nature of the problem? What caused the problem in the first place? Chair, it became very clear throughout this process that there were significant differences of interpretation between the Auditor General of South Africa and TCTA over the nature of the supporting documentation required to substantiate payments made by TCTA on behalf of the Government of South Africa to the Lesotho Highlands Development Authority and Lesotho Highlands Water Commission. That's the first problem statement. It's a problem of interpretation of the supporting documentation required. The second problem statement is the difference in interpretation led to an initial limitation of scope audit finding, which would have resulted in the disclaimer audit opinion. We're quite convinced that if we had closed everything in September or in October, we would have ended up in a disclaimer audit opinion. It became very clear that because the information was not forthcoming and there were issues of interpretation, then we were going to get a disclaimer and there was going to be a limitation of scope. I'm simply summarizing what one would constitute, would call a problem statement. Did you? Oh, thanks. Thank you. The main account and the water trading entity account financials are tabled together in the annual report. I think you all know this, that we've got two accounts and both accounts, we always table them together. Now, TCTA is implementing projects on behalf of the water trading entity of the department. As a result, the financials of WTE, the water trading entity, are linked to those of TCTA. You have to finalize the TCTA finances before you finalize the water trading entity finances. Now we'll go through the chronology of events, what has caused all of this delay. The material adjustments were made on the TCTA financial statements, which impacted on the WTE. This is stating the previous statement. The audit work required to validate these adjustments was assessed as substantial and could not be completed by the 31st of October, as initially anticipated. You called us on the 13th of November to account for not meeting that deadline of the 31st of October, 2019. This delay, therefore, affected the WTA's ability to adjust its financial statements as they are based on the TCTA financial models. Hence, the WTA's inability to submit the adjusted financial statements to the Auditor General of South Africa. Because WTE is part of the department's annual report, the department was therefore unable to table its annual report. You have to finalize TCTA in order to finalize the water trading entity account in order to table the annual report, because the WTE annual report and the departmental main account are in the same annual report. Let's touch briefly on the complex TCTA business model. I'm not going to spend time on this. I think the members of the committee are very much aware about this model. There's an issue of concurrency between the two ministers. Remember, TCTA is a special purpose vehicle. We use TCTA to implement most of our projects. And TCTA was established in 1986, and that model probably is due for a review now, because what was a context in 1986 is not a relevant context in 2020. So we have been given a mandate, myself and the CEO of TCTA, we've been given a mandate by the minister to review this model, because if we don't review it, is going to continue to trip us when it comes to the audit. So you can see that on the right-hand side, you've got the TCTA role. They participate in the capital markets. They will apply to us for borrowing limits. Minister will seek concurrency from the Minister of Finance for the borrowing limits to be increased. There will be guarantees required, government support that needs to be undertaken. TCTA will interact with the lenders. They will interact with credit rating agencies, because that is important. The credit rating agencies will look at the performance of this particular entity, and they will make sure that it's rated properly. They will also be responsible for project implementation, the structuring of the debt. They will deal with debt management issues. They will source funding. So as you can see, TCTA plays a bigger role in the implementation of all of our big projects. A good example is the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, and we'll come back to this. The department will be responsible for the planning. We do a lot of reconciliation studies, reconciling the availability of water with the demand. At all times in our system, we have to do reconciliation studies, we have to do planning work to make sure that the system is balanced at all times. We don't want to be in the same space where energy is. And the only reason why we will be in the same space where energy is if we fail to plan and execute some of our studies and execute them on time. In this business, time is everything, because if you delay it, then you're going to end up with what has been experienced in Mutupi and Kusile. We don't want to go that way. So that is why infrastructure planning is critical in the department, and we always take a 25-year horizon in dealing with this. It's important to take a 25-year horizon. Some of the projects that we're implementing right now, including the Lesotho Highlands water projects, were packaged, planned for more than 10 years ago. Planning is everything. It is science. And if you short-circuit that, you are going to be in trouble. So the bigger part of planning is done by the department. There is a big army of officials, and some of them have been serving in the department for more than 15 to 20 years. They're highly experienced, and they do this kind of work of strategic planning or infrastructure planning. We also take care of the, once the asset is there, we take care of the operations and maintenance of that asset. So this is the role that the department plays. But as you can see in the model, the bigger part of this business is managed by TCTA. So it is important that we get the finances of TCTA in order. If TCTA's finances are not in order, the cost of borrowing is going to be high. And that is why the credit agencies are watching that space. And I guess that's one of the reasons why we delayed submitting the financial statements this year. I'll move to the next slide. Here, I'm not going to be long because this is the main account timeline. The main account was delivered on time. The main account annual financial statements was finalized and submitted to AGSA on the 31st of May 2019. On the 30th of August 2019, the signed audit report was submitted by the AGSA to the Department of Water and Sanitation. Now, the rule, I think it's Section 40 of the PFMA, requires us to table the annual report within a month after the submission of the audit report by the AGSA. Now, in this case, we didn't do that. We had two options. One would have been to simply create one annual report for the main account and submit it. We could have done that, but the tradition over the years is such that we submit both the main account and the water trading entity account at the same time. Now, coming to the water trading entity account and TCTA timelines, on the 30th of August, which is the date on which the accounting officer should have submitted the annual report. The water trading entity account should have been submitted on the 30th of August. It wasn't submitted. And again, I want to stress the point that we don't want to give excuses. We take full responsibility for that, and we will be able to show you how this will be corrected going forward. On the 30th of September 2019, the annual report for the Department of Water and Sanitation and its entities were due to Parliament on the 30th of September 2019 and to the NCOP. It wasn't submitted because we missed the deadline. On the 21st of October 2019, TCTA adjusted annual financial statements was submitted on the 21st of October 2019. The minister wrote to you on the 27th of September 2019 requesting an extension until the 31st of October 2019. On the 31st of October 2019, DWS requested another extension. We couldn't meet the 31st of October 2019 deadline. We came here on the 13th of November 2019, you requested us to come and account as to why the annual report has not been submitted as promised on the 31st of October 2019. And we appeared in front of SCOPA on the 13th of November 2019 to explain non-tabling of the 2019 annual report. And we were very optimistic that by the end of the calendar year, both the WTE and the TCTA financial statements would have been submitted. On the 20th of December 2019, the AG submitted the signed audit report of the TCTA. The TCTA audit report was submitted on the 20th of December by the AGSA. And then TCTA had to submit or table its annual report within 30 days as required by the law. Remember, it's stated in the law that once you have received the audit report, you have to submit it within a month. You have to table it to Parliament within a month. On the 24th of December, TCTA finalized the AGSA report submitted to the department on the 24th of December, that is the day before Christmas. On the 13th of February 2020, TCTA submitted its annual report to the minister. And on the 21st of February, AG submitted the signed WTE audit report. Because the TCTA financial statements or the TCTA audit report was finalized in December, it became easy to finalize the WTE, and the WTE water trading audit report was finalized on the 21st of February, which leaves us with a month to table the WTE report. On the 27th of February, Minister tabled the TCTA integrated annual report to Parliament. We've already tabled the TCTA annual report to Parliament. It was tabled on the 27th of February 2020. The WTE report and the main account report will be tabled on the 20th of March in this year, 2020, to Parliament, and we will still be within the 30-day or the month period required to table after you have received the audit report from the Auditor General. Chair, I want to stress the point again that in terms of the law, and this is Section 40 of the PFMA Act 1 of 1999, the accounting officer's reporting responsibilities, it stated that the accounting officer for a department, trading entity, or constitutional institution must, in the case of constitutional institutions, submit to Parliament that institution's annual report and financial statements referred to in paragraph D and the AG's report on those statements within a month after accounting officer received the AG's audit report. The corrective measure in this case is in place to ensure that the GWS water and sanitation meets the AR submission timelines going forward. The key milestone is that the AGSA audit and management report have been finalized. They have been finalized on the 21st of February this calendar year. The print and assembly of the annual report, we're busy with the final quality assurance, proofreading, preparing the final documentation for printing, and this has been taking place since the 24th of February, and we are of the view that it will be finalized by the 18th of March. You may be asking a question, what's different this time? You promised to get this thing finalized in December. The only difference this time around is that we have received the AG's audit report. And the law states categorically that you have to table within 30 days of receiving the AG's report. And we are of the opinion that we will be able to meet that deadline. We already have the AG report. We have been doing proofreading, quality assurance on the annual report, and we think that Minister will be able to table the annual report to Parliament on the 20th of March. Chair, I'm going to leave it there for now so that we can interact with the presentation and we can entertain the questions and comments if there are questions and comments. Thank you very much.
All right. I will hand over to colleagues. Saying goes the taste of the eating than the pudding. As we've been down this road before, we have had deadlines set, and so until such time that it happens, we remain doubting Thomas. Because the substantive challenges do not lie with submission, but the reasons why you are unable to submit. And I think that is the crux of the matter. Honourable Van Minen.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think it's very unfortunate that the Minister is not here, because this is actually quite a serious matter. We're looking at about 7 months overdueness in terms of this report. The next one would be due in 5.5 months. Do we know if that is going to happen in time or not? I'm concerned about letters being written requesting postponements that those letters only being written on the day when the report is already due. So that is something I'm concerned about, the commitment of the department to actually getting this done. And then what I want to know about the TCA, you were talking about the terms of the review of the TCA. What are the terms of reference for that review? And how would it go about ameliorating the situation? Because from what I understand, the real issue here is essentially oversight of the authority, which is sitting in Lesotho. There are obviously delegates from South Africa with that, but how do you propose to actually ensure the treaty is put properly into effect so one can actually have oversight of this, because one can't continue to have a situation going forward?
All right, let's get a response.
Thank you, Chair. The first question is about whether we'll be able to meet the next audit timelines. Chair, we determined not to repeat what has happened this year. We've already had an operational working meeting with the AG, because the intention is to document some of the lessons that we've gathered from this current audit. I think there are good lessons that we've managed to capture together with the AG. You please bear in mind that TCTA was audited by the AG for the first time this year. I think there are lessons for TCTA out of this particular exercise. And part of the problem here is that is the nature of the institutional arrangement, because you have TCTA playing in the capital markets. You have the Water Commission sitting in Lesotho. You have the Kambani LHDA that is responsible for the implementation of the project. And then you have the department and the WTE. I think the art of perfecting that complex institutional arrangement is what we've been grappling with. But AG's point was very clear, that we have to follow the money. TCTA pays for what is happening in Lesotho, so therefore TCTA and the Commission, they need to jack up the capacity to provide oversight on what is happening in Lesotho. We've discussed that with the AG. We've discussed that with TCTA. It doesn't matter how you look at it. It's like in the case of national departments and provincial departments, the issue of concurrency, that the national department will say, I'm not responsible for the execution of that budget, but they are also a transferring officer to the provinces. So the national government department has to make sure that they provide proper oversight to those who are responsible for implementing the project. And that is the lesson here as well, in terms of TCTA and ourselves, that we need to provide proper oversight. The DG of the department and the PS, DGs in Lesotho are called PS, they meet regularly. We have agreed to meet every second month to discuss operational and strategic issues for both, for what is happening in terms of phase one and for what we are trying to do in terms of phase two of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. Remember, we're starting phase two in Kori Hadi now. So we have every second month the DG and the PS of Lesotho. We also have to bring the PS of Namibia on board, because Namibia is a player in the entire equation. We won't be able to implement phase two without Namibia signing the no objection rule, which is required by the funding institutions. So, Chair, I think there are lessons. I think the AG asked serious questions this year. I think both the executive management in TCTA and the top management in the department, they have agreed that we need to change our modus operandi in dealing with our investment in the suit. We have to follow the money. We have to jack up the capacity of the commission, because the commission is an extension of the department. If you look at it, the commission has to provide oversight to LHDA, the company that is implementing the project. So we don't think that will come back here, Chair. We determined to make sure that we meet the timelines, we submit as per the statutory requirements this year. We started the process. I think the AG and the team met last week to have an initial engagement to look at what went wrong in the last financial year, how do we avoid those problems going forward. So I am determined to make sure that we meet the targets. Minister instructed us a fortnight ago to come up with the terms of reference. We only told him a fortnight ago, myself and the CEO, to provide leadership in reviewing the institutional arrangement. We are of the view that the separation between TCTA and WTE is artificial. It needs to be dealt with head on, because remember, TCTA depends on WTE, the vice versa. WTE depends on TCTA. And the question is whether you still want to continue with that institutional arrangement almost 30 years down the line. Why can't you get the two institutions to constitute one institution, for instance? That's one option that has been put forward, that create a water infrastructure management agent, and to get both WTE and TCTA into one entity. And then TCTA will have a stronger balance sheet once you do that, and they will have a bigger footprint, and they will be able to participate properly in the capital markets if you go that route. So Minister has asked us to come back to her with options on how to solve this problem once and for all, because the real issue here, the Lesotho part is easy to manage. I think we can provide oversight, we can follow the money, we can beef up the capacity of the water, of the commission, but the real issue is this artificial separation between TCTA and the WTE. There are few national government departments that are still managing two accounts, and there are people who are saying, well, why don't you go for the unbundling of the department, take the WTE out of the national department altogether so that you can focus on the main account. But those are all strategic conversations that are happening within the department, with the advisors in the ministry and other specialists in the sector. We are not there yet. We're still working on the terms of reference. We'll go back to Minister with a discussion document. But Minister has given us 5 months to come back to here with a concrete proposal. We'll be able to share those terms of reference with you once we're finalizing.
Thank you, Chair. It is unfortunate that as SCOPA we only come towards the tail end of events. So ours is to get an understanding what killed the patient and how do we avoid the patient from dying in future. Looking at your report and what you presented to us on the 13th of November, you cited significant difference over the nature of supporting documents required to substantiate payment. What I was interested in hearing from your presentation, whether or not for future purposes have you addressed all these challenges that you had between the TCTA and Auditor General. So are you now clear moving forward what type of supporting document are you going to provide for audit purposes as stipulated in Article 10 of the treaty and the MOU that you have signed? While you're busy with that process of coming up with new terms of reference, but there are measures in place currently as articulated by the AG for you to account properly. Because on your report in November previously, you cited that TCTA has no direct access to the records of LHDA or any oversight over the activities of LHDA. And that was in a way trying to justify why you didn't have records or invoices as per your significant differences with AG. So I'd like to get from you, have you sorted out those issues? Do you know what to expect, and do you know how to deal with those issues moving forward so that we are not sitting with you here next time trying to understand why you're not tabling the annual reports?
Did you? Thank you, Chair. It's a very relevant question because it talks to the heart of the problem that we were grappling with in this current audit year. Chair, the reality here, and the AG pointed it out, is that we were adopting a minimalistic approach towards this particular matter. Remember, the commission is an extension of the department in Lesotho. The investment is a South African investment. We pay for it. Lesotho is hosting this on our behalf. The project, the dams are in Lesotho, but the biggest investment, if not all of it, is coming from the South African government. So therefore, you have to follow the money. And this is the message that the AG has been saying to us all along. You would have noticed that over the years, TCTA has been getting a clean audit. TCTA, you can go and look at over the years that they have been doing very well. Maybe the issue is that the previous auditors were not asking the hard questions that the AG is beginning to ask.
Who were the previous auditors?
Well, yes, it is. The change, yes, it's the private sector. But we'll give you the names.
Yeah,
of
can
the
that
auditor.
Be pulled out, please?
Yes, so
we will
share that.
Let's put a face with a name to the problem. Because I've noted it and I'm coming to that issue of the audit. All right?
Yes.
I was not interrupting your teaching.
I think that question is relevant because, according to the information before us, is that TCTA has not received nor requested the Commission for Cost to Funding Reports for the past 3 years. So it baffles us to hear that you've been getting clean audit, yet mechanism of accounting for the money transferred were not there. So it is very important what the Chair is asking, to get to understand who's the audit firm that gave you clean audit.
Did you can continue?
Thank you, Chair. Please bear in mind that there's a company in Lesotho that is responsible for the project, and that company is not audited through PFMA. They use different standards for audit. But there's a big but. The commission in Lesotho is an extension of the department. Any information that we need from the company can be sourced through the commission, because the commission is supposed to provide oversight to the implementing company in Lesotho. But there are different standards. TCTA has every right to write to the commission and write to ourselves to say this is the information that we must get. I think we have clarified that matter. But over the years, TCTA was focusing on the audit. And their approach was that the company in Lesotho will be audited. There's a board there that is managing that company. There is a CEO in that company. There is a CFO. There's a management, executive management that is managing that company. But the reality is that even if there is a company in Lesotho that is responsible for implementing the project, LHDA as it called, the investment is a South African investment. The funds are coming from the South African government. So therefore, the South African government has every right to follow the money. And this is the point that the AG has emphasized. So we have to find means and ways to follow that money. And because the commission is providing oversight to this particular company, it should not be difficult for us to get the information that we need. But I think over the years, TCTA was focusing on what they have a control of. And by the way, that very same question is relevant to the department, because the commission is representing the department in Lesotho. So therefore, the department has every right, direct right, to write to the commission or tell the chief delegate in Lesotho to say, make available this information. So the commission can then interact with the board, the commission can interact with the executive of LHDA to make that information available. So all what we're saying, Chair, without giving you a long history about what has happened, is that there are lessons that came out of this exercise. And it's not going to be difficult for us to find that information. There may be a challenge with audit standards between the two companies, but we may find a way to deal with it. Perhaps before we step off on this item, I'll ask the CEO to come in as well, because he's affected directly.
The point of departure should be who was auditing. I think let's start there. And then if the commission is an extension of the department in Lesotho, who are the individuals there? Because if I am correct, we are dealing here
is an inability to provide information satisfactorily over a period of 18 months. So this representative, who is this representative? Because we need to know the value chain of communication and the transfer of information. So I think as the CEO comes in, let's start there. Who was auditing you? Because whilst there may be no PFMA obligations in Lesotho, but whoever's auditing the TCTA must audit you as per the PFMA. So and the fact that this is the first time it's happening and unearthed by the AG in itself is telling. Right, CEO? I've noted you, colleagues.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Commissioner. I hope I'm clear enough, I'm audible enough. Yeah. Perhaps I need to start here. The department, just to correct this, it's responsible, or South Africa has only half of what makes the commission. The Lesotho Highlands Commission is made of two parties. There's a South African portion and there's a Lesotho portion. And what happens is they go 50-50 in terms of membership. So each of the countries are representing the interest of their own country in that. So even as the DG is talking about the commission being an extension of the department, it's only the South African portion. And the way they deal with the matters, it's on consensus. There's no issue that gets to be finalized before the two countries, via the commission, then agree on how to take matters forward. So that's how that structure works. I just wanted to
make sure that's fine, but the 50-50 still has South Africans. We want to know who those people are.
The 50-50 still has South Africans, and those are the commissioners that report to the ministry, as the DG has stated. And I think this is the flaw that the minister has now said between myself and the acting DG. We now need to come with a different operating model to be able to deal with that. But perhaps your earlier question,
who is the South African component in the 50-50 area, since you've already started that, and we'll go back to the initial part of who was auditing you.
There's now there are some of the positions are vacant, but you have Mr. Vusen Tlapu being the one that's heading the South African delegation.
Let me break this down, CEO. How many people are supposed to be in the commission?
For now, it's in the commission.
Yes.
In the commission, it's three All right. members.
So who are the South African three?
You Tlapu? Have Mr. Wilson Tlapu. There's a vacant position because Becky has actually resigned. Is now an MP in the South African government.
Becky, well, I think you clarified that, Becky, because there's a Becky here.
Oh, it's not this Becky. I'm just trying to. I think it's Becky Nkosi, is it? It's Becky Nkosi. Now with the sixth administration chair.
The third one.
And then the third one is Mr. Johan Klassen, who also works for TCTA. Now those are the three
in
members.
In what capacity is he working for TCTA?
He's the head of projects. But the reason why he's at the commission, that was a decision made by the then minister to put him there, because he's been with the project since 1986.
Okay.
So
then
from
then Minister Nkwinti Omokunyane, because then is open and I'm trying to be very systematic.
I think it goes even before that time.
All right. So he's let me not say this, all right, it's fine. Carry
and
on.
Then below, you have the technical members who now are reporting to the department, and they are alternate members to the commission. You have Mr. Pitswart, who's looking at the finances. He's actually a CA sitting there now representing South Africa. And on the technical side, you have, what is the... That's about to go on pension. Yeah, Leon Tromp. Mr. Leon Tromp looking at the technical side, on the technical side of the representation as well. Now from the department, you also have the Chief Director for Planning, Mr. Solima Bud, also now being part of that commission as well. There are other supporting functions, but I think those make the core of the South African representation. Then you have sort of a mirror of that structure in terms of Lesotho representation.
So this entire complement should be all fair with the PFMA. And so therefore in representing the South African interest in that 50-50 arrangement, they should go into that platform with the PFMA in mind.
It's true, but not that simple.
I think it is. You see, the consensus they should be driving at in the terms of the financial management, that as a principle must be established. We can then debate the merits and demerits of how strong they are in convincing the mirror. Just as a principle.
Okay, I have a different principle, Chair.
All right.
And it's not out of line with what you say, but there are other realities that we need to look at. PFMA came in the 1999. The principles that are governing this relationship are coming from a 1986 agreement between South Africa and Lesotho. Now, we're not saying we should not realign, and I think
that's what you have it, and that's the problem. That's fundamentally the issue then. We are dealing with consensus in a vacuum, whereas there's laws present, and so that's why I was very interested to hear the difference of principles. Because if the PFMA can't be the principle, I don't know what else is.
I think also in your treaty, it further provides that TCTA can request at any time, once available, from the Commission information of reports to facilitate the accuracy, completeness, and reliable of reporting. So that is provided in a treaty, that you can request the information. And the question that I ask is, when last did you receive or request cost to funding reports from the Commission? Because it is alleged that for the past 3 years you have not received nor requested such information. So in essence, you are paying, but you don't know what exactly you are paying for, because you just receive a claim, you deposit money.
Right, let's tie it down, and then let's go to the issue of who's auditing, who was auditing, and then Honorable Lee, and then Honorable Swartz, Honorable Tolash, Honorable Somio, and then Honorable Mente will be the last one, right?
I think the point I wanted to clarify, and sometimes it appears that one is being defensive as one explains this. The question said in the past 3 years. Now I needed to bring the historical perspective of how things were done so that the committee understands how things were done before. But I think the introduction of the AG has actually highlighted that things need to be done differently and make sure there's alignment to the PFMA as it is. Although all of these things are happening in the country that does not necessarily recognize PFMA. So what has been good is we have been working with the AG as well from a point of view of now saying, what are your standards and what are your requirements? Part of that has been in accounting standards, Chair, it is acceptable for the AG to accept work that has been done by a different audit firm. But the issue is the standards of the AG are such that when they engaged with the other party in terms of who was auditing the LHDA, their view was there were other areas where they were not comfortable, because in terms of their methodology, it's very tight from a point of view of how they look at things.
And that's
now,
why we like the AG.
What we had asked the AG, and at least I'm here saying we are working together, and this is in line with what the DG said, we have requested them to say, can you give us your standards so that when now, from South Africa's point of view, we engage with Lesotho government through the commission, we are able to say this would be the minimum standards that we require. And this is why we are saying going forward, we should be able to meet the minimum standards in terms of what is required. And to answer your question directly, Chair, the TCTA was audited by Ernst & Young at that particular point in time.
How long?
I think it was now we are slightly new here myself and CFO, so we can get the records in terms of how long they have audited. But I think it's always the matter of saying form and standard, which comes first in terms of how this is done. But what we are taking out of how the AG looks at this has been, we follow the money and we make sure that we can report the way we're supposed to. And for now, we are working, we've started looking at how things are happening in South Africa. And the model from TCTA was, they are looking at the budget and they are providing funding as stated in the treaty, if you look at it. But the issue of reporting, the 18 months that you're referring to, because the business in Lesotho is very different from the business in South Africa. On the South African side, we are looking at water. On the Lesotho side, they are looking at water and hydropower. And I think this distinction is very important, because as that water comes from Lesotho into South Africa, it first has to generate, it goes via the Moela power station, and then it generates energy. Now, the issue of cost, this is where it gets a bit tricky, where they have to separate the cost to make sure that the South African consumers do not pay for the energy generation in Lesotho as part of this program. But it made sense to now say Lesotho will be able to generate electricity as part of the water coming into South Africa. So that separation, when the AG says, look, in terms of the last 18 months, we have not requested that costing. It's always on the basis that they take time as LHDA now to actually do the reconciliation. But where the AG is correct, those timelines need to be shorter in line with what is sitting in the treaty. But that has been done over a longer period, because there's been an evolution of this project. When we were doing phase one, all what South Africa did was to provide, we're not even raising funds. It was for the South African government to provide the guarantee for the project and then be able to pay back. Everything was done in Lesotho. So there has been a difference in terms of how we're dealing with phase two, and when South Africa then was able to go into the markets itself, the role of TCTA was actually redefined. But we now need to make sure that there's still alignment with the treaty as it sits, but we need to make sure that we're also aligned to PFMA requirements. That's why we are now saying going forward, working also under the guidance of the AG in terms of their requirements, we should be able to close these gaps. We have already engaged with the commission to say, the treaty said it cannot take 18 months for them to actually now do that reconciliation. It has to be done, because we are looked at on an annual basis. When we come, Chair, and present our annual financial statements, it has to be on a yearly basis, on an annual basis. But before, they were taking more than a year to be able to do a proper reconciliation and make sure that each of the countries does not pay for the activities that are happening on the other side, and each one gets the cost allocation properly for each of the different countries. So where we've been found wanting has been the timeline in terms of when does it take. So AG says, this is an annual report, we need to know where we are at this particular point. They don't tell me that you're going to take 2 or 18 months or even 2 years, which has been what is happening. So at this stage, this is what we are working with the DG to actually ensure that we will be able to get those reports in periods that make sense, and then we can be able to report, and the AG can look at that, all and right. In a year we can account properly.
Okay. Yeah, wait, Bamba. Right. On.
I was very specific, Chair, to say when last did you receive the cost to funding report?
All right. cost to funding reports?
Reports, because it is alleged that for the past 3 years we have not received. And in terms of your mandate, you even, in that report that you presented to us, you stated clear that the LHDA submits to the RSA delegation who certify before payment can be made.
Okay, let's get a response to that.
I need that specific response.
The specific response is the following. What has been happening is in the people representing the commission in Lesotho, we're looking at, I think Mr. Pitswart has been looking at items of a million and above. The agreement between the two countries, which is not in line, I must state, with what the treaty states, has been that this makes sense for them to look at larger numbers from a point of view of now giving us, because before we pay, we get Pete to sign off who's sitting in Lesotho that, yes, we are happy with this, but they've been looking at the big ticket items. So the proper one that takes care of all the issues from a point of view of the cost has been over 2 years, but we've also understood that this is how they've actually been working to say, over and above that, once they have done with that reconciliation, then any monies would actually be exchanged if there was overpayment or underpayment. So yes, I know.
Report received. I think let's get to that, please, because this question is very specific. You said when was the last cost to project report received? Yes, cost to funding. Yeah, let's get to that, because what is fundamentally clear here is that there have been deviations to the treaty, there's been a sidelining of the PFMA, and other operations of have been instituted on the side. And that is why I was saying the PFMA is the baseline principle in terms of the outlook which must be carried by the South African delegation onto that commission. And that's not negotiable. And the fact that it was not actually updated, that whatever, to be consistent with the PFMA in itself is unacceptable. So I think that reality is pretty much clear. Has that report, is one available? When was it received? I think let's tie that down.
To the delay, AG wanted proof.
Yeah.
You did not produce yet. You make weekly and monthly payment. And you are saying that your South African delegation certified before payment is made.
Yeah, let's get a response to that. The question has been aptly covered. If there's no response, then you can indicate that there isn't one.
The last report was received in October 2019.
All right. Right, Honorable Liz, just note your follow-up, Honorable Hadebe. You can note your follow-up. You can come back to that matter.
Mr. Chairman, Kunja, December,
October
2019. Mr. Chairman, we're talking about delays in getting the audit opinion. So it's off the screen now, but the AG submitted the signed audit report on the 21st of February. Okay, so we now know what the audit opinion is. What was the audit opinion for the WTE and hence for the whole department? Is it a disclaimer? And I'm asking that because it seems to me that a lot of what we've been hearing is what's going to, a new understanding of what's required and what's going to be changed. But hasn't yet been changed. And so if that is the case, and maybe I'm not listening properly, but if that is the case, then I have to assume that the audit report was qualified.
What response to that, please, DG?
Perhaps, Chair, I'll be guided by yourself in terms of our best to manage these issues, because it looks like we're bordering on dealing with substantive issues that are in the report already. And I was of the opinion that we will be able to deal with
process issues today that led to us not tabling the
point of order, sir.
On time. But if we answer the question directly,
point of order.
The point of order, Honourable Mende.
Chair, the DG, acting DG, must answer the questions and not try to tell us how we should direct the questions to him. Point here is that South Africa paid money. Money was unaccounted for. Failing in your fiduciary duties, according to Section 40, is an offense. It's a criminal offense, by the way.
Okay.
Therefore, we cannot be told how to direct questions.
No, I think, DG, the question that Honorable Liz is relevant because you opened that door and you said that had you proceeded with the audit, to paraphrase you, you would have landed a disclaimer. So the issue of the audit outcome was also central to the delay in terms of what it would be. So you undertook a preventative step to avoid a disclaimer. Now, so I think it's relevant what is happening because it places into context your thinking and rationale insofar as all the decisions that were taken. So I think it's still in order. We're not going to deal with the substantive details of the annual report. We are very clear that you're going to come back for that, like I indicated, because there's an outstanding inquiry. So I think Honorable Liz is correct because it helps frame, partly frame what is before. So I think his question is sustained. Right, DG?
Thank you, Chair. We stated in the presentation quite categorically that if the information was not forwarded to the EG as requested in October, we would have ended up in a disclaimer. Remember, the issue of limitation of scope was already being flagged at the time. And if there's limitation of scope, chances are you will end up in a disclaimer. Right now, I'm not sure if it's correct to state what is in the audit report before it's tabled. Because
I think
myself,
you can proceed.
We can do it.
Yeah,
we can do
plan.
That. Yes. We have a qualification. Both
right.
TCTA and WTA are receiving a qualification in the audit report.
All right.
But
we'll
it would have been wise
that.
If we didn't forward
right.
the information that the EG requested in in October.
Mazambane, you're satisfied with that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, it's leading. So, Mr. Chairman, the DG correctly states. I mean, I've got your report from or your presentation from last time. So there you state that a late submission or a qualified audit opinion, which it now we've established is, could be viewed as an event of default. And so that's why you tried to fix this. But you weren't able to fix it, so you still got a qualified audit opinion, despite the delays and whatever happened, all the processes and the negotiations. In the end, it was still a qualified audit. So if you had presented or done it on time, it would have been a qualified audit. And you tried to avoid that on the basis that it might lead, as one of the motivations, perhaps the others, to an event of default. And there's a 22 billion rands worth of borrowings involved in a default. Has a default, have you now established that a default will not occur? I'm afraid now the lenders are aware that there's a qualified audit, if they're listening to this conversation.
Well, I mean, I think we're 9 days to that, and they're printing now, not amending the audit outcomes. So, I mean, that's common cause, really. So that's why I allowed it. It's because, you see, I think, let me just clarify this. Did you see, what we take an exception to, because it will create problems for is delays so that at the end you look good because I will keep drawing to the SAA example. No, we can't submit, because if we submit, we're going to go under. So then might as well everybody with a potential disclaimer or a disclaimer say to us, no, I'm not submitting, because, well, it causes problems. We are fooling ourselves to the very real challenges before us. So I think the limitation of scope, that's why this whole EY thing remains of concern to me, because it begs the question, and in as much as it's spoken about standards, how were you being audited? Because I would want to believe Wuti, who AG walked in there and immediately picked up a problem. So I think those are all the questions that arise with what two Honorable Lisa say. Right, DG, over to you. Then Honorable Tolasha, and Honorable Swat, Parenka, Guzo Pendula, and you tie it down, and then we go there. Colleagues will all be here. House is sitting at 3. I know there was a delay, but we will endeavor to finish by no later than 13:30. Right, DG?
Chair, there are two parts to that question. I'll take care of the first part, and the second part will be done by my colleague, the CEO.
Right, and if there's a, because we are not dealing with the annual report, if there's an area, a space where you feel is substantive for the hearing, just indicate that. But let's not use that as a e-how. So you'll indicate, and then we will look at the amount report. So let me give you that limited flexibility for the purposes of us arriving at on the issue of non-submission. All right, over to you, DG.
Yes, Chair. It's these interlinkages between the two institutions, and we would want to believe that if you compare the two, the sample size that the EG is using is bigger than what some of the audit firms are doing. I think the EG's sample size was big, and one could argue that TCTA maybe was caught by surprise. And they didn't have the information. They didn't expect the AG to ask for that information. And if they can't provide the information, they know the consequences. That the consequences would be dire, which is why colleagues are saying, well, we got a qualification. We put a lot of energy into this to make sure that there's good audit. We had long hours as top managers to make sure that there's good audit, because we know the consequences of TCTA not getting a good audit in the market. The cost of borrowing is going to go up, that we know. We wanted to avoid that at all costs, because it comes back to the taxpayer. So we were optimistic that if all of the information is submitted and all the documents are in place, the outcome will be, at least, will be good. We may get an unqualified audit with other matters, but in this case, we got a qualification. We didn't get a disclaimer. We got a qualification. That's what the report says. We've already tabled the report.
Yeah. The part we will about deal the default, with the substantive areas of qualification,
yes,
at the hearing. That's fine. We'll not deal with them today.
You will take care of the question.
Over to you.
Yeah.
It is true, Member Liz, that the qualification also automatically leads to the funders now looking at that as a cross default. As soon as the AG had finalized our report and we went through this process of making, because we had to make sure that it got tabled before. But what we tried to do well has been able to engage with the lenders, because we have a very good relationship with them, to try and keep them up to speed in terms of where we are. And we could see, because I need to explain this, and I hope, Chair, it comes out the right way. The AG operates differently, that if they pick up a problem, what we said, and we had an agreement with them, I said, we understand that we are at this stalemate initially, but my approach is as TCTA, let's work together to try and get them the information that they require, even if it sits with LHDA. So I said, we'll try and get as much information relying on our relationship with Lesotho, on the Lesotho side. And we were able to give them some of the information that they require. But what happens is, if they pick up an issue, they then, when you give them the information they require, they then look at that information. Once they are done in terms of their process, then they say, we want to go back to the sample size to actually check their, whether everything else is aligned in terms of this. So part of, or one of the issues, and we'll talk about it when the time comes, has been when they come ask for information, we give it to them. But after we now say this is the explanation, they want to go back to the sample site. Now, if you look at when these things were happening, they were happening in December, where some of our colleagues who were really doing us a favor to provide us this information, because we said, from South Africa's point of view, it's important that the AG follows the money. So part of what we could not do was to be able to give them more information that they came to request, so that they can actually close the loop. So that's one of the qualifying matters, that's where they were saying no, but we didn't get this information on time. And on the Lesotho side, it was their choice to decide, unless then through the commission, which is what we are doing now. We're trying to make sure then that we categorically state what information would be required, because there's an audit plan. So the AG needs to now say, this, in terms of my audit plan, these are the areas that I'm going to be looking at. And what you are doing with the AG now is to actually make sure that, or with the acting DG, is to actually make sure that we close that loop in terms of the commission being able to tell LHDA what is it, what information would be required. But to your question, what we've done is, we have actually been, like, I've been engaging with the funders to actually say, look, under these circumstances, we are looking at not getting, because it's a cross default, they need to actually punish us for that. And what they were looking for, and I've set up meetings with them, it's just, I had to come here today, where we're engaging with the markets on the basis of now, explaining what has happened, what are we putting in place, and to actually ensure. So there are some of the funders that have already said they will relax that particularly, because they understand the devastation that it would have. And it's also in the explanation, and they understand our business better as well, from a point of view of what happens and why was it difficult to now get information out of a different country. But now we know what the AG expects, and we are working with them to actually ensure that on the Lesotho side, we will be provided with that information as and when it's due. So it's work in progress, and we are hopeful that we won't actually get that cross default, because I don't think the state has 22 billion lying around. Right. So we are doing our best.
The head of audit wants to try it down, wants to add.
Thank you, Jay. Just to also add to what the acting DG said, yes, we didn't, or the AG didn't issue the report on time, also for us to get a better audit opinion. The AG wrote to the audit committee a letter and say, we're not going to issue the report on end of July, as the PFMA say, because there's a lot of things, because they audited the first time TCTA, as that the DG already said. If they will issue the report for WTE, it will be a disclaimer. But for the past, I don't know how many years, TCTA got a clean report. We took the figures we included in WTE annual financial statements, and that was fine. But the AG opened our eyes, and the AG wrote to the audit committee and said, we're not going to issue this report on end of July. And I agreed, and I said, yes, I fully support that you don't issue it now. Now, continue with your audit at TCTA, and then we will issue the report later. So it's not that department that said, no, sorry, like SAA, please don't issue it. No, it's the AG, when they start auditing TCTA, they said, WTE, we're not going to issue that report, we're going to get, you're going to get a disclaimer. And the audit committee agreed.
Okay, so in other words, the delay in your assessment arises because of the AG. That's the implication of that statement. So I think explain it better, so that because I'm on AG, I'll come to you. Because what we want here is to get to the root cause of non-submission, right? Okay?
Chair, it is not because of the AG. The AG wrote to the audit committee and say, because there's a lot of findings at TCTA and you use that figures to incorporate in your annual financial statements. Their suggestion was that and the recommendation that they don't issue the report of WTE at the end of July because it will be a disclaimer. And the audit committee agreed. The audit committee say it's fine, issue it later because then WTE will get a better audit opinion. And it was, because if they issue it at end of July, it will be a disclaimer. Now they've issued it in February, and it's on the financial side, the qualification with findings on non-compliance.
AG?
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Yeah, Chair. First point of departure, we concur with the initial statements made by the DG in terms of the root cause of what went wrong and the process that was engaged in. You would recall when we briefed and when we do our normal engagements, we always allude to the fact that part of the audit process requires continuous communication and engagement with those charged with governance. So the letter that the chairperson of the audit committee is referring to was merely us executing our responsibility in terms of that aspect of the audit process. So we identified certain aspects, we just merely communicated to say, as a result of this, this is where we are in terms of the process. There was no concurrence or as a result of us having made a decision, because the way it's coming across is that the Office of the AG made a decision that we are not going to release certain information, thereby impacting the timely delivery of the annual report of the department. So everything as initially discussed by the acting DG, is true in terms of the shortcomings that were identified, the engagements that then persisted, but the engagement with the audit committee was merely just a notification, Chairperson. I hope I'm understood in that regard, Chair.
All right. Honourable Liz, your final question, and Honourable Tulasha, you are next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to point out that the presentation which you gave us the last time round, when was it, 13th of November, does not talk about a disclaimer. It talks about a qualified audit opinion could be viewed as an event of default. So, and that's exactly what's finally been the outcome. So at that stage you didn't say it would be a disclaimer, and now you can say after all this good work that. And I have to say, Mr. Chairman, it has been good work. I don't want to detract from the work that's been done. But at the end of it, you've still got to qualify it. So that's just on the record. Mr. Chairman, may I just build a little bit on what the DG said earlier in terms of long-term planning? I mean, it is long-term. My first cousin, who retired as a civil engineer probably 25 years ago, was the project engineer on the Katse Dam, and that, I don't know how long ago that was built. So these things are long-term things. The same man was the project engineer on the Snowy Mountain scheme. Mr. Chairman, do you know what the Snowy Mountain scheme is?
I'm younger than the agreement of TCTA, so...
It was a massive water scheme in southern Australia in the 60s and 70s. But long-term planning is, I really agree with you, but I'm not sure that I agree with you in terms of your ability to prevent the electricity scenario that we have today with water. And I say that, and I'll give you a small illustration. There's a little village called Van Rienen. It's on the N3, the top of the Drakensberg. It doesn't have water. It has a few boreholes. the police station there hasn't had water for 3 years. Their boreholes dried up some time ago, and they sometimes get water brought in by the Water Authority of Tugela District, which is dysfunctional. But the years roll on, and there's no provision made, and even right now they're spending 2,000 rand a day on diesel to run a generator. But that's not your problem. So what I'm saying is that Mr. Chairman, I agree with the DG. We don't want an Eskom situation or electricity situation with water. But I suggest to you that you are heading that way anyway, and that the Lesotho Highlands Water Scheme is only a part of the solution.
Right, Honourable Tolasha. Next. Thank
you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, I thought we should then ask the Chairperson of the Committee to withdraw his statement first, because he spoke contradicting matters. It came from the same mouth, but they were contradicting. So if you can please, for record people, just withdraw what he said earlier on, especially after the explanation from the of the AG.
All right. Before you proceed, let's do that. Chairman of Audit.
Chair, I don't want to get into a dispute, but I've got a letter here that the senior manager wrote to us. What I will do, I will...
Okay, wait, that's fine. We'll forward that letter to ncabin@parliament.gov.za for our records. We will look at it and we'll make a determination once we've received it.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We'll make a determination once we've received it. Secondly, Chair, I think I got the explanation from the DG and quite interesting. However, I'm not sure if we've dealt with the cause of the death of the patient. Because from where I'm seated, the reason of this meeting is the non-submission. For everything else, Chair, we're still going to deal with the issues of the AG and find time to deal with them extensively. I guess, Chair, if we're satisfied, let's agree to say we're satisfied, although I am not at all Honourable Chairperson, SMDG. Because all that you're saying for me is what you got from the AG, and now all of a sudden you are going to submit. I'm not convinced, Chair, because this is not the first time I get to hear that story. That story has been said more than once. We were supposed to be here on the 31st of December because the department said they will be ready. But unfortunately, we couldn't be here because the parliament does not operate on those days. And today, we are still getting almost the same. So I'm not convinced. However, I want to insist to say, if the meeting is satisfied, let's agree and let's call it a day and wait for the brief that we're going to get from the AG and deal with that extensively when the time comes. Because I know for a fact that sometimes you cannot separate from the two, especially out of the explanation of the DG and his presentation. However, we still have to hear from the AG so that we are having all the facts before and able to move forward. The last one, Chair, is that I'm not sure the CEO spoke about the commissions that some are to go to retirement, some are no longer there, and some are now MPs. For me, he told me that structure does not exist. It doesn't exist for what I got from the CEO. But if the FTTG can also take us into confidence whether that structure exists or not. Because if you say one of them is an MP, which I know both is here with us, the one is about to go to retirement, it was going to be nice if we can get to hear what are the... Therefore, if he's going for retirement, there should be something in place that is going to address that. I guess we might be interested to hear that more than to hear somebody's going for retirement, because majority of time here, he wants the work to be done. The last one, the auditors that were auditing earlier on, I'm sure we are all interested in wanting to know what they are. Thanks, Chair.
All right. 2011, 2012, and 2013, 2014, it was Deloitte, Sizwe, and Koboto. 2013, 2014 to 2017, 2018 was Ernst & Young, and currently it's AGSA. So, Dando, thank you for that. Okay, let us get a reaction to what Mam Tolashe has said, and then AG, I'll come to you, right? CEO?
Chair, with your permission, I wanted to at least brief the committee on the questions that it does been asked. The first one, for the record, to correct Honorable Lees, the presentation that was made in November was made by TCTA, although you were directing it to the acting DG, but he is the one that accounts, so it's fine, he's a shareholder. But I need to clarify this. Although when we talk, there's a difference between what's in there and how we positioned it. Initially, the issue of the disclaimer was on the table because the AG categorically stated that unless we provide that information that's on the site of listed, and TCTA was not without fault, because it's also when in that presentation how we were accounting for the costs that were happening on there. So they were right technically to now say, but we want information that goes with it, and we said, and they were very clear that unless you give us that information, we're going to give you a disclaimer, which would have been quite devastating if you think about it. So what then we said is, despite us having a different position in terms of the role of TCTA, let's try and engage with the Lesotho, our counterparts in Lesotho, and get that information. So we got most of the information. That's why it could move from a disclaimer, and we are hopeful that they would actually be satisfied with the information, but clearly they have actually highlighted some issues where we still have room to improve, which is what we're doing currently. On the issue that has been raised, the members that sit on the commission, Chair, we have gone out now, because you have to wait for the terms in terms of how long they have been appointed to come to an end. So we have gone for adverts now in terms of getting new members that are going to sit on the commission, because you also have to have an open process. And just for the commission for the committee to understand this, before, after phase one, and this is why it's important, after phase one, we went into a maintenance mode. Now we're going for phase two, which means there's a lot of effort that is required, because you are getting into the construction phase. We are talking about a lot of money. So you actually need to make sure that you beef up that structure, which is something that we are looking at as a department between ourselves as TCTA and the acting DG to say we need to beef up that structure. So perhaps what I'm trying to say is the adverts are out, and we have already started filling some of the positions lower, because there's other supporting positions, but even the main positions have actually been advertised. So we are going through a process of making sure that we are appointing new people in line with the processes defined, and the minister will finalize that process.
That's fine. It's a pity that the board of TCT is not here. Because if I'm correct, we had elections in May last year, so that delegate of yours to the commission has been here almost a year now. Why was that vacancy not filled? It goes to what I was asking earlier on. Your turnaround time lies a fair outlook. No. In as much as we welcome the action steps, so they could, but I don't get a sense of urgency. On such a crucial area, you're speaking about billions of rands. So, but it's fine. We'll await that process so that it can be brought to a logical conclusion. But DG, I think, as a broad stroke principle, you turn around time to the filling of vacancies, particularly crucial ones, is of serious concern to us.
Right, TG had your hand up, and then AG wanted to also retire down in the Akut Lamandu coming. But yeah, right, acting TG.
Thank you, Chair. The question by Honorable Tolasha on what's different now is why should we trust you that things will be sorted out now? I think we didn't have an audit report then, we have an audit report now. TCTA has already tabled their annual report, and that's what is different. And there is absolutely no reason for us not to table within 30 days. AG has submitted the annual report. All what is expected of the department is to table, and that's practically doable.
All right.
Right. AG?
Thank you, Chair. Through you, Chairperson, I think from our point of view, Chair, we'd like to just effectively deal with the perception that might be created by the Chair of the Audit Committee that the delays experienced by the department were as a result of us having communicated and saying that we are running behind in terms of the audit process, Chairperson, because that's what it's sounding like. So Chair would recall, we always keep mentioning that as part of the audit process, we would develop an audit plan. And in that audit plan, you would indicate certain key dates. Some of those key dates would be when you indicate to those charged with governance, including the audit committee, the accounting officers, the accounting authority, when you would give them draft reports. And obviously for you to issue draft reports, it means that you would have done the normal audit process engagement with management, deciding and finalizing the figures in the audit. So, Chair, as part of the audit plan for WTE, we had agreed on certain dates by which we would have had the audit committee in order to finalize that process. So, as part of the audit process still, we then, when we identify certain shortcomings or matters that might affect that plan, we communicate, which is, as we indicated earlier on, part of the audit process. So we communicate, for example, we write a letter to the accounting officer, we wrote a letter to the CEO of the TCTA. Whenever we identify matters that are key pertaining to their environment that impact on the audit. So part of the letter that we sent to the chairperson of the audit committee was informing the chairperson, and I'll read one paragraph with your permission, chairperson, but we have submitted the letter to...
Don't go to the letter.
Okay.
Because we have said the letter must be submitted in its entirety.
Done.
We will look at it and we'll make a determination.
The letter has been submitted to Ndombi already. No, thank you, Chair.
Fine, we will look at it.
Perfect. Thank you, Chair.
And then when we come back at the hearing, I think colleagues will clarify it, having satisfied ourselves as to the contents therein. It probably is a matter of speaking past each other on the core issues, so we'll look at it and we will. So I think that the perception that you speak of, and we can hold that perception in abeyance. I think we are having a professional discussion about communication and about content. But as far as where I'm seated, the explanations provided in November and the explanations provided now say to us that the issues were with the department and its processes in their entirety, and you were facilitating the process. So I don't think that perception holds water. As far as we are concerned here, colleagues, unless I'm wrong, the fundamental issues in their entirety rested with the department. They've articulated them, and they take full responsibility. They did so on the record. And ultimately, the DG, we will look at the audit report as well, of the audit committee, so that we can get a sense of what was their thinking. So, yeah, don't worry. That perception holds no water. All right? Honorable Swartz.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm very disappointed. One, the type of presentation that we've been given, 12 pages, and the acting DG in between keeps on saying that the committee has information, the committee is aware. Then what are we doing here? Because we're supposed to be given a presentation. The presentation is very empty, very dodgy with information. The CEO just now, when he was questioned around the commission, he is now alluding that there are applications, which means that it's going to be more than three people now because of the phase two. But Chair was supposed to be told these things because these people were doing a presentation to us. They are now saying that there will be layers, there will be all these sorts of things. But the main thing we are here for today is that there is a problem in terms of auditing with a TCTA. And that is what we expected to get here in full, in detail, in explanation. Now, Chair, we are sitting here and, like, we are digging for information. Their document of November says that the Republic of South Africa's delegation reports to DWS. In your own presentation of November, it says that the Republic of South Africa delegation reports to DWS. But when you are talking, it's like there's a difficulty for us to get information out of this relationship, but you've got commissioners there, you've got a head of projects, so I'm sure you're expecting us to ask you, what does the head of project do? What was the person who was vacant? And then Leon Trump is going on pension, you've got all these type of things, but the real issue on neither here nor there, a treaty of 1986, and to date we are to where we are, 2020. I hope that when you are reviewing this DG, as you are saying that you have been delegated by the minister and the CEO to review the way the treaty works, it does not hold water for us as South Africa to pump in money into something where we must get information. You end up writing in your report that TCTA has therefore no direct access to the records of the LGDA or any direct oversight over the activities of LHDA. This is in your presentation of November. Now, I want to get from you that you are writing these things here, but when you are talking verbally here, you are talking something else. Now, as a department, why would we bend backwards and forwards, and you even say to us that if you were not putting in so much energy and working so much, you get paid, acting DG, to work so much, for you to come out with the work that you come out with. Everybody works hard to get paid. But the way you are talking, and the CEO spoke about favors, I nearly jumped out of my chair. Are we in an agreement of a favor in this water thing? Who is doing who a favor? You said they are doing us a favor, CEO. Don't whisper. Look at me so that you get what I'm saying, what I heard you are saying.
All right.
You are saying, you said, for you to get documents to assist the AG, you were literally asking the other party to do us a favor for you to get documents. And on the other hand, you are saying it's not your duty as per se. You were trying to assist because it is the first time you are going through such an audit. Before, you were just taking things from TCTA and putting it in your documents. If I heard the chair of the audit committee saying correctly that the AG opened your eyes, if I'm listening to English properly. He said the AG opened your eyes as a department because before you were just taking things from there and putting it in there. That is why these were being audited for the first time. Now, I am saying that this type of presentation does not assist us. And it doesn't assist acting DG for you to say that the committee knows, the committee knows. We can't fly from Johannesburg to you and then you come and say we know. You must give us what you're supposed to give us, and this thing does not have information on the matter that we're dealing with. irrespective of us, that you are no longer here for a hearing but a presentation. I think at the hearing, Chair, we will voice out what we want to voice out. But for now, the people responding to us, Chair, to each and every question, they're talking in circles. Baba yala, ne information. They, I don't know. Baba legis fuba, abakonu kuluma. They are not bringing out information. We are digging information from them, which they have. After Honorable Cholashe has asked about the commission, now seemingly the answer is that because of phase two, there are no longer three commissioners. And for me, Chair, personally, I just feel that we should not be even jumping to phase two when phase one is such a mess in terms of the accounting. Because, yeah, whether the water goes through Muela Tunnel, CEO, or the Swart Tunnel, us sitting here, don't worry whether it goes through the Nkambule Tunnel, the water. Those are technical issues. For us, yeah, the issue is the rand and cents that the Republic of South Africa puts into that project and the accounting thereof, which is not clear, and the accounting whereof we must be digging the accounting officer sitting in front of us.
All right.
Thank you, Chair.
This one down. No, no, coming to you. Bonnie.
Chairperson, number one, we are here because there was a non-submission. So we are not apologetic for stopping a circumvention of the law by utilizing clauses in the PFMA that are escape routes. 65 does not write off the responsibility of submitting financial statements. By the way, the same 65, after all is done, the AG must still come into play. Therefore, it means AG must get the financial statement. So, acting DG, in terms of Section 4, it says you take the responsibility according to the prescribed norms and standards. So the norm of TCTA is that the extension of your office or your eyes and ears in terms of following the money and accountability thereof is the commission. The commission is non-existent. I'm going to follow up again from Peggy's question. How often have you yourself and the CFO of TCTA said during the audit period, this one, which was outstanding 2018-19, how often did you sit with the commission and exchange the report? And number two, there's a lot of provisions that are made in the treaty in terms of Article 8 on how to consolidate the statements from paragraph 11 to 13. It tells you of long-term consolidation and then and short-term consolidation on a monthly basis. Where did that fall through the cracks? There is a plan in place. When you are making a presentation, we are working on a plan. But the treaty has a directive in it. And it tells you how to deal with the consolidation of financial. Now, Swart says, in fact, the chairperson indicates that elections were underway in May last year. We are now 2 months away from May, 3 months away from May again. Two, there's still a vacancy. It's your fiduciary duty to ensure that positions are filled. So your extension to oversee the project in Lesotho is non-existent. What is the plan? You are saying it will not happen again, that AG is falling short of getting information in terms of the upcoming audit report. But I can tell you now, there's going to be a shortfall because there is no one overseeing the finances on the other side.
Right.
Now, lastly, Chair, if in November when you were here, you said by the 31st of December, we were going to have finalized the process of audit between yourself and the AG. The AG reaches out to you in order to advise on shortcomings. And those shortcomings had to force the office of the AG to acquire more information, not your office. And then a favor was done from the other side. Is that not going to repeat itself? Whether we like it or not, the Department of Water, I think it's the second department from SAA to have no money when we're closing the books last parliament. You are on the minus. And we're not going to sit here and be apologetic by following money which is spent at water. We might have spent so many billion. And if we can't account for every drop of water we receive here in South Africa in comparison with how much we've paid, that is going to be a failure on our side. We have so many other projects that here in South Africa have to be taken care of. But they are not being taken care of because we're trying to direct monies where we can. But we cannot direct a lot of money and not follow it. It would be very dangerous and careless of us. So please, do not feel like when you are here, you must just tell us, now I'm done, it's fine, all is good. It's not well and done. If TCTA cannot function, we should know that TCTA is not functioning. If the commission is not functioning, it's not functioning. Then let's hear what is your solution. Thank you.
Colleagues, we will have a substantive hearing on water, on all the material aspects of it. We will weigh whether we are satisfied with the explanation for non-submission, and then we will make our recommendations to the House. Right, Honourable Somya.
Well, Chair, I think your emphasis which you are just coming up with has been sufficed. That we have this report in front of us, which indicates that the report is going to be tabled by the 20th of March. I'm so constrained here, you see, that you know, if we're talking about the treaty, this is, for me, the treaty is a bone of contention, which is the responsibility of another committee to deal with its own specificity. I've been looking into a number of binding areas of that treaty, which might probably, the move by the minister to say there's a need for a review of that treaty. This is the life of it, indicative of some levels of a bounce back and the non-compliance which would look into the PFMA, and though there is an existence of Article 10 which deals with the areas of accountability there, but probably in terms of the required standards, it might be the area that would need the basic review of the outlook. The ministerial directive of 1994 itself around the same
structure would require that the minister, even on the review of the existing ministerial structure in the Republic, would need that kind of automatic review of the treaty itself to align with the governance model, which is somewhat required. So all these things which we're talking about in terms of the DCTA lie on the legal framework which has resulted on its own existence. And we are here today because of that a kind of a treaty which has created those kinds of structures. The DG says to us, because of that failure, has created a platform where the DG in the South African side and the Permanent Secretary on the Lesotho side would meet because of failure. Those kinds of substantiveness of the structural alignment, they indeed account for what we want to arrive at. Then the taste of the pudding is in eating. So the detail, which is the outcome of the report of the AG, would then align and give to us the further detail on the matters which would have to somewhat delve in to test even further that kind of element of failure on the South African side and as well on the Lesotho side, without getting lost on the fact that indeed the transfrontier relationships in terms of the infrastructure development, you can go in any instance, without talking about environmental affairs, you see the infrastructure model in terms of the South African relationship between Lesotho, and these are the lessons that we must learn, going broader into the interest of South Africa to other you see, countries, as to how can we outline the structural instances of our own way. So this whole thing, I think the Parliamentary Committee on Water ought to busy itself with this a kind of work, and then ours around those rents and cents which emanate from the accountability side of these kinds of things. But where I think we should emphasize that for the DG on the department side, that the time has been stretched too much, because even if you say that the finalization of the report by the Auditor General has been stipulated, to stick on the defines of the PFMA around those months of difference and so forth, was that already dealing with the late process. It would have been more appreciable if your timelines would have been modeled to at least be shrinking up, without getting back into that a question of outlining in line with the PFMA. I'm not saying get out of PFMA, don't get me wrong, because you're already late. So therefore, it ought to have been more acceptable if you would somewhat begin to tailor your timelines such that you that element is being dealt with probably to be way better than what it is around your assertion in terms of the submission, but we stand to see the report has to be submitted to Parliament, and you are on record that this report is going to be tabled on the 20th of March this year. Chair, there's a meeting of chairs which is probably started up past 12, so I'm looking for that meeting.
That's fine. My office to table an apology on my behalf. So you can emphasize it, please, when you get there, that load shedding derailed us. Right? Can I, right, colleagues, ma'am? Are you fine? Okay. Right, Mazambani, last one, and then DG, you will
the team will have an opportunity to...
Mr. Chairman, very briefly, we've now got a copy of the annual report for the
ECTA.
And I just wanted to highlight the fact that the audit qualification did indeed deal with the Lesotho project, but it dealt with two other issues, which we haven't, it's not formed part of the delays, because the delays are
under...
I don't want to go into the detail. It's 98. But there's acid mine drainage was an issue for the Auditor General, and there's some capital requirements on the Mgeni scheme that were also... So we've been dealt at length with Lesotho projects, which... But they weren't the only issue. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, that's all I really want to say. They weren't the only issue for the qualification.
Sure.
I wanted to get comfort and confirmation from the DG. The next audit will be due soon. So to get an understanding that issues that led to late submission have already been resolved, all of them. And in this coming period, all issues will be dealt with. There won't be any delays, because that's what we're here for in the May. Learning from the year under review, you're confident that you have dealt with all issues and you won't be appearing before us explaining the reason for non-tabling. I just need that confirmation and comfort moving forward. Thank you.
Okay. All right. DG and your team. Obviously, this hearing is going to unearth a lot of things which will form the basis for our discussion. So I will give you an opportunity to respond to the clustered questions. I was very deliberate, colleagues. I'm trying to manage time. I know we were doing 1-1, but I'm trying to manage time so that we can conclude. And then we will, then I'll just make the concluding remarks to develop a way forward, and then we will adjourn. Right, DG, over to you, and you will delegate as you deem fit in your team.
Thank you, Chair. We want to start with the last question, Chair. It's unprofessional to miss deadlines. I think it's not something that we enjoy. The best test of whether people are professional or not is to check if they do meet deadlines. We don't want to be in the business of missing statutory timelines. That's not us. That's not what defines us. So we're not going to continue with what has happened this year. So I want to assure you that we will stick to the 30th of August deadline, which is a statutory requirement. We've started that process already. So we don't want to come back here again. The last question was about the, it's more of a comment on TCTA, that there were other issues. Yes, there were. There were other issues. It's just that there were more complications on the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, the acid mine drainage matter, the issue of loans, the liabilities. The CEO can talk to them. We'll discuss them when we come back. Yes, there are quite a number of other issues that were flagged by the AG. Yes, Honorable Somyo, the audit report is late. It's already late. We accept that it is late. We missed the deadline. But we have stretched it, and I take full responsibility for that. The reason why we stated the chronology of events and the dates, the intention was to show the linkages, that one item, if it's not done, it affects the other. If you don't finalize TCTA, then you can't finalize WTE. And we're not putting that as an excuse. If it comes across as an excuse, I apologize. I take full responsibility for the delay as an accounting officer. But we just wanted to show that process. There will be no reason for us to miss the 20th of March deadline, because we already have the audit report from the AG. all what is expected of us is to table to Parliament, and that process is underway. We're busy with quality assurance and proofreading. Yes, there are the DG and the PS meeting, the DG of Lesotho and the DG of South Africa. They have to meet and provide project guidance on a regular basis. One of the things that I picked up when I took over this portfolio is that these meetings have not been happening regularly. And this is where the DGs must provide strategic guidance to the operational team. If certain things are not happening, for instance, the information is not forthcoming, it is the DGs of the two departments who must provide that leadership and get the information. Because the DG of Lesotho must manage his team, and the DG of South Africa must manage his team as well and make sure that things do happen. After all, these are the accounting officers who must account when things are not going okay. So that meeting is not happening just because things are not working well. It is expected to happen anyway. It's expected that the two DGs must meet regularly and provide strategic leadership on the matters. If we come across as if we are hiding information, it's not our intention. It's not going to serve us well, the department, to come here and hide information. I think we will make available every information that is required. You will see when we come back for the hearing, we will share with you some of the issues around consequence management, because this is another issue that has been raised several times by this committee and the Water and Sanitation Committee. We will tell you exactly what we've done in the area of consequence management, because you will not be able to deal with misconduct like irregular expenditure, fruitless expenditure, until you link it to the person who caused it in the first place, so that there's proper consequence management. It's just that today we responded directly to the question that was raised on the non-submission. We didn't get into details about the actual report. So if we come across as if we're hiding information, it is not in our intention to do that. And it will not serve us well to hide information from the committee. There were questions that were raised about the treaty. I think we're grappling with that ourselves. The treaty was passed in 1986. 20 years later, that treaty, is it still relevant? Is it serving us well? Please bear in mind that the review of the treaty has to be done by both countries, and that's going to take a little bit of time. And the question is, what is it that we can do that is within our control to follow the money? Because I think we do have levers to follow the money. So I don't think we need to do a wholesale review of the treaty for us to follow the money. The real issue is that the DG and the CEO of TCTA must put measures in place to follow the money, to hold those who are entrusted with this budget accountable, whether in Lesotho or in South Africa. National Treasury has already raised questions about beefing up the capacity of the commission. We had a bilateral with Treasury where they told us that, look, we really want to see the capacity of the commission in Lesotho being jacked up. We've discussed that. Minister has appointed the chief delegate. We're filling the other positions. We've already advertised and shortlisted the other positions in the commission. Because the commission has to do its work in Lesotho. There are engineers in that commission. There are financial people in that commission. But we need to come back to you and take you into confidence about the capacity of the commission. The issues were raised about the ministerial directive of 1994. I think we can deal with that when we come back to the hearing. There was a question about the legal framework. I don't think we want to discuss it today. The entire legal framework. The rule in South Africa is such that if there is a conflict between any piece of legislation, between PFMA and any piece of legislation, PFMA takes precedence. And that rule, we know it. So if there is any conflict with the treaty, PFMA is in direct conflict with the treaty, then we have to flag those issues and maybe find a better way of reviewing that piece of legislation. But please bear in mind that the Lesotho government is not obliged to comply with PFMA, but PFMA principles are about accountability. They are about accounting for or creating value for money. So I don't see any major conflict there. I think all what we need to do is to make sure that the commissioners, all the commissioners, both the Lesotho commissioners and the South African commissioners, they must do their job and they must do their work, and we must hold them accountable if they're not doing their work. So I really don't want to use that as an excuse, Chair. I don't know if my colleagues want to come in, if I've left out any questions. I don't want us to come across as if we are dodging some of the questions. And please feel free, Chair, if there's a question that we have not attended to. Thank you very much. It's fine. Briefly.
Chair, the risk of opening up things that the acting DG has closed properly. It's important just to answer the question that was asked directly. The big issue about this is twofold. The first one is, in terms of the workings of the relationship between South Africa and Lesotho, the expectation on the South African side is we need to report annually in line with some of the conditions of the treaty. But it's not like there's been money lost or things like that, but it's just in terms of how on the ground that has been working. They have actually been taking more than a year to actually report on certain things. Now what we need to do is to get the two together to make sure that there's alignment with the expectation and for us to be able to account. That's the primary thing in terms of what has happened, or the issues that we are dealing with in terms of why there was a challenge. Mr. Lees is right, there are other issues that relate to the findings, but the amount of time we spend on Lesotho and the AG wanting to make sure that they are comfortable is the one that led to the stretch of time. If you look at when they finalized, if they finalized their report on the 24th of December, it means now it has a ripple effect, and for us it still has to go through our county, it needs to go to the audit committee, it needs to go to the board before it then goes to the process. All we are saying is we understand where they were coming from to say they need to understand this business and some of the things that they have highlighted we can work on. Now, the issue that we have not touched at all, that talks to some of the issues that you raised, ma'am, were relating to when I said we had to go after engaging with the AG when they said we'll give you a disclaimer. For us as TCTA, we are a funding instrument. Then the part of the commission that deals with that information coming sitting from the department. But the AG was saying, we're looking at you as South Africa. You better go and change this. That's why the minister has given us the mandate, the two of us the mandate to say, go and change this operating model to make sure then that when we have to account the AG, whether it's us or the department, we can get a structure that would be able to get them to be satisfied on behalf of South Africa that the money that is being spent, everybody knows where it's been spent. So that's what we are doing. It's just a structural issue, Chair, but we didn't want to reduce it to that to say structurally that's all that there's a problem on. But there's a lot of things that we've learned from this process, even in terms of this. And I must support the DG when he says there's a lot of good things for South Africa in terms of what's in the treaty. What we are looking at is to say, are there things that the minister can do because of her control over the South African component to make sure that we can still satisfy the requirements of the AG? And we believe that it's a better way of looking at it. Because that treaty, if you reopen it, it's going to open a whole lot of other things where Lesotho would want to renegotiate some of the things that I think the South African team that was negotiating did a good job as well. So, but what we need to come up with is to get to a point where we come to the committee and be able to get the comfort through the AG that we can now give them the information that they require, and we believe it is possible.
All right, colleagues, thank you. I've received the letter. It will be circulated to members. My initial reaction is that the content there in the AG's outlook was correct. But we will discuss it. But from where I'm sitting, just looking at it now, the AG was correct in the issues that they've raised in that letter. But we will discuss it. Saki, Tommy, please make sure that members receive it by close of the meeting, so that when we make recommendations and tie this down, we are very clear on it. Colleagues, I think there is a need for us to engage in a process of
even if it's a committee bill, a very minor one, but we probably do need a process to amend 65-2 to tie it down. It can't be just as open-ended as is, but it's a discussion we can have. Right, so let us look at that, but Section 65-2 of the PFMA does need to be tightened because this case study of water and SAA are the clearest indication yet of a genuine outlook to accommodate opening a floodgate to not comply. And that needs to be sorted out. Like I've said, I've seen the letter, so that's done. The review of 5 months, we would like to be appraised at the end of that 5 months of the progress and what it is that is contained therein, so that when we interact with the PC, which is responsible for your affairs on the daily, we can give them an informed representation of our assessment. So that is very important. To our next engagement, DG, the TCTA board must be here because they are the ones who are accountable. So we want to interact with that board. It can't be that we'll have grave discussions about TCTA and water matters and the board is not there. So that can be looked at. Right, 11th of May, we would like the update on the filling of the vacancy of the CFO, which you said 1 to 2 months, so it's fine. We'll give you the benefit of doubt. The outer date is the 11th of May, and we'll let that correspondence. I must stress that in everything, as you have also pointed out, DJ, the PFMA cannot play second fiddle. It is not the bridesmaid. It is the bride, if you want. And to amend a little bit what one political figure said, who said, I can't be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. The PFMA is a bride at every wedding and a corpse at every funeral. It is the alpha and omega of the yardstick measure of oversight and accountability and the work of this committee. And if there are treaties which are inconsistent with the PFMA, in as good as they are, they must be updated to ensure that we do not run the risk of financial management which is left to the devices of discretion at the expense of the PFMA. Because the ripple effect of that is that when the AG comes in, yes, there will be delays because we are not compliant. So that is a non-negotiable. The PFMA holds the center. It is the alpha and omega. Mufundi Bible ngesiZulu is igama lokuqala ethi ekuqaleni elokugcina lithi amen. Ku Genesis ekuqaleni kwesambulo uAmen. Kuyafana-ke nala. PFMAU, amen, is God. So let there be no ambiguity about that. At every material point, which is every point, we will defend the PFMA. And we will expect that there's compliance with that. So in the review that you are doing, that must be understood. Yes, we understand the dichotomy, which will become a trichotomy now because we are bringing in Namibia. The principles, in as though they may not be expressed in the treaty, the principles of the South African representatives must be anchored in the PFMA. Their interactions must be anchored in the PFMA so that the consensus they push is driven by the PFMA. We fully understand that. We are dealing with other systems and so on, but we are expecting that from South Africa. Go there driven by the PFMA. And of course other regulations, but let's not be flexible, let's be rigid when it comes to the PFMA. So I think that point is aptly captured. The filling of the vacancies of the commission, DG, you said you've got a process. Can you detail to us that process in writing and receive it next week? today is Wednesday, next week Wednesday, so that we know exactly how you plan on sorting that one out. AJ, you have got you've got the responsibility to audit government departments and entities. If you delegate that responsibility to another entity, company, ensure that the standards that you are auditing are clearly communicated to those whom you outsource to, so that we can avoid this kind of thing, that when you take over, you find that there were shortcomings to the extent to which the effectiveness of the audit was consistent with the PFF. So I think have that discussion. It will enrich them, in fact, so that your work is also not called into question. So I think, colleagues, I will leave it there. I think we will await the 20th, and then when we receive the annual report, we will then schedule a hearing, which will of course be, amongst other things, be a continuation of the inquiry that Parliament was holding for water and sanitation, so we can tie that down, because no report came out of that, but the minutes and recordings of it are available, so we will bring that up to speed, and so that we can finalize on that. So, DG, please expect that, given the gravity of the situation, that hearing will not be a morning session like generally is the occasion. It will probably be over a period of 2 days, because there's quite a large number of issues that are outstanding. I'm sure I speak on behalf of all colleagues when I say we will not allow water to fail. See, maybe me as a rural boy from the south coast of KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, it's fine. You can switch off your electricity for me. That's okay. But if you take away water, there's no alternative to water. But there are alternatives to energy sources and supplies. And so the warning that Honorable Liz gives you, that if you do not get your affairs in order, you run the risk of becoming another ESCOM. Where I live, sometimes water will be gone for a week. The daily realities of our people hinge on a functional water infrastructure and regime in this country. And it falls on your shoulders to do the right things all the time for no other reason than it being the right thing. People need water. It's not a want, it's a need. It's not a luxury, it's a need. And therefore, we understand us when we are upset, when we are irritated and annoyed at times, when things don't go right. Your problems are compounded by conditions that you cannot control, a drought. And therefore, we are expecting innovation on your part so that we can, amongst other things, desalination projects and so on. So we are expecting innovation. We are expecting functionality. Because irrevoltiga case in Nanega be compared to irrevolt, which will be staged by South Africans if this water crisis persists. And I can assure you I'll be on the side of the people. So let us get things right. And there must be consequences. DG, in that meeting when you come back, make sure that your consequence management report is up to date. The looters, the stealers, the thieves, the corruptors, the agents of state capture, in their entirety, that basket of deplorables, the whole lot, must ship out through proper consequence management. So we will meet with you, DG, and we thank you for being here to account and explain your set of circumstances. We will compile a report on our observations and make recommendations. So that, and then I'm sure your PLOs will, once the House adopts those. And to also say our next, so that you know now, our next oversight most likely is going to be around some of your work. So
longstanding extra-end in Jamoba, Sesendilins, yes. So we will be there to look at it and to make sure that you're doing the right thing. That's all we want and that's all we do. So on that note, AJ, I doubt we'll be able to have that briefing. Now, given the technicalities of electricity which prevailed this morning, but we will take time and we thank you for the flexibility that you exercise. So on that note, the meeting stands adjourned and be safe on the roads.